counting the rands because it makes sense. Taking care of business on Raz FM.
14 minutes after 5, and welcome to the Monday edition. You've just joined us. I'm Karabo Mpolokeng, and you are still, I'm in for Wandile Mazibuko this afternoon. Now, with the US 30% tariff increase, South Africa's already fragile manufacturing sector faces a potential crisis threatening export access, thousands of jobs, and long-term industry stability. Now, with the recent domestic demand showing some flickers of recovery, export volumes are currently at their lowest this year, and many manufacturers now risk being priced out of the key international markets. And this afternoon, we are joined by Dr. Andrew Dixon, who is the engineering executive for CBI Electric Low Voltage, on why supporting local should be a national imperative. Doctor, good afternoon. Welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Afternoon, Karabo. Thanks for having me, and good evening to your listeners.
Always a pleasure to have you. And I mean, let's just start here. What does this 30% tariff mean for local manufacturers and exporters?
So it makes business harder for us. What we see here is, of course, many countries are having tariffs applied to them. And it depends on the quantum of that tariff. But for a manufacturer that is making something that is available from another country, it becomes a very difficult. It's a me too type product, which means that my 30% isn't necessarily what you're seeing. And so as a manufacturer, I can't pass that cost necessarily onto the end customer, which a lot of people say, well, just pass it on to the American consumer. I can't do that because they then will go somewhere else. So I have to become strategic in how I'm executing that 30% tariff.
Sure. And I mean, obviously, with the latest data showing that new sales orders are rising by about 7.8 points to 46.1, marking the first meaningful uplift in domestic demand since the downturn began. Why is supporting local manufacturing crucial for jobs and more so for skills pipelines?
So on that front, there are two elements to this. One is the mass deindustrialization that we've seen around the globe. It's not only a South African thing, it's also a global thing, that we've offshored everything to China. Those skills that you learn on the ground, that capability of turning something from a simple raw, a simple resource into something more meaningful, move up the value chain, becomes very critical. Then as we go further than that, the skills that we develop during those processes lend themselves well into other business sectors. And so core skills are developed within the manufacturing framework, the logistics, the supply chains, even understanding the processes. And those then can bolster other investment type environments that give them the ability to see into what those processes are and then ultimately invest in worthwhile operations. And without the industrial side of things, everything else just becomes a consumption environment. And the problem with that is, where's the value add? Where's the development? On the other side of that, there's an economic issue around that is, if I'm just consuming as a nation, then I'm shipping all my financial or all the money matters offshore, which means as a result, we're simply not developing the economy to the extent that we could.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, there's no doubt, Dr. Dixon, that manufacturing's impact extends just beyond, far beyond the factory floor. What then ripple effects will the closures of businesses have on logistics, on retail, and including the real estates in the country?
So manufacturing draws a lot of people into it. You know, you don't simply start up a manufacturing arm and automate everything. People work on a factory floor. And where people go, other services and ancillary services follow. So again, there are two arms to this. One is the development of the infrastructure around a manufacturing community is A, very important, but it also develops its own economy. And so that strengthens the environment. It means that people are willing to go there to settle down, to invest in the time and the space. And so what we see is that as you deindustrialize, so those very same people that went to become a fireman there or a policeman or a shop owner, or they start bringing in produce, that falls away. And so that entire economy that was built on that manufacturing disappears. On the other side of it, you look at your upstream and your downstream of that manufacturing environment. There's logistics arms, there's suppliers in that. And again, as you see the downturn of the industrial side of things, those suppliers slowly start to disappear. And then as a manufacturer in the environment, you've now got to look further and further offshore for those raw materials that then obviously increases your input costs. And subsequently, you find a fall off of your downstream. And so it's a very much a negative loop. Whereas what I'm saying is if we start to look locally, look for what is being produced locally and bolster those environments, we start to elevate the economy on a national scale and we keep the money in our borders.
Yeah, and I mean, you've stressed, you know, the consumer can play a pivotal role in stabilizing the demand and safeguarding jobs. I mean, can rising domestic demand help, though, shield South Africa's manufacturing from these global shocks? And I mean, how much of it do we need to try and shave off the effects?
So we need as much as possible. That's the honest answer. But the local consumer has a huge impact. Again, the ability to go out and buy on the cheap is easy. At this point in time, I'm going to call the big brother in the room. The problem here is China, but it's not really only China. China has industrialized to the point where they've got really good at things. They can produce things at a variety of different quality levels. They can ship it around the world. It's very easy for them, and they do it at scale. The problem is we've deindustrialized our local capabilities, so we can't do things at scale, which means you become more niche, you become more unique, which often means there is an element of quality in that because it's very often handcrafted. But because of the number of hands that it's gone through, it increases the price. And now you say, well, if I'm going to go and buy something that I can get from China or from South Africa, well, I'll choose the Chinese one because it's cheaper. Yes. Short term, it solves your problem, but long term, it degrades an entire sector. So what I'm asking and saying, you know, what like Trump is trying to do in America and reindustrialize America, I'm saying we've got some very good manufacturing environments in South Africa. When we choose to spend our money, let's look beyond the broader context of just what I need right now. But if I buy from a local manufacturer, then I've got the potential to strengthen that, strengthen up and downstream and all the services around it, because it puts money in their hands who pays their employees, who then buys the food from the local store, who then uses the local services. So you strengthen everything. And so, yes, it's very much in the consumer's hand. They have a huge difference to make in this.
No, absolutely. And I mean, also today, adding to that, we've heard from the South African Trade and International Relations Ministers outlining some support measures for local companies that will be hit by the 30% U.S. tariff this week, including some exemptions from some competition rules and financial support facilities. But I mean, a lot of details are still missing here. But do you think what you've heard today is enough, and what other urgent policy actions do we need to take to protect the sector?
So this, I'm going to say, because the whole tariff element is still, I would say, an evolving scenario, anything that the government can do to shield is certainly welcome. My question is it going to be enough? Is it going to be implemented fast enough? And do we have the ability from a governmental perspective to support these industries while trying to maintain other elements within our economy, within the service provision? That's to be seen. So I hold judgment on that one. But certainly, I think the government has a critical role to play in this, both from a international relations perspective, as well as the ability to turn and support local manufacturing to make us a competitive overseas, but on the other side of it is actually to boost the economy, because I believe it will solve some of their challenges around employment and how they deal with a lot of people with not very much work opportunity.
Yeah, and I mean, just maybe in closing, Dr. Dixon, I think we've just run out of time here, but we've heard this even from the president last week talking about setting up this export support desk where they would be setting up and helping companies to enter new markets, and everyone is now talking about exploring these new markets. Realistically, how long would it take to see this come to fruition?
It depends on the product being exported. The ability to set up the avenues, I believe if you've got good trade relations, I believe those avenues can be opened quite quickly. But often from a product perspective, there are legal compliance requirements for different countries. They all adopt different standards. And in order to obtain those can be a lengthy process. So though we may open the avenues, the ability to supply into that and therefore buffer what we're seeing on the US side of things may be a little bit more of a challenge. Also, at the other side of it, of course, is what makes it very hard around the American tariff side of things and the American consumer is they are a very big country with a lot of money to spend, whereas some of the other markets aren't as big. And so would you rather have a small slice of a very big pie or a bigger slice of a not so big pie? And that's something that we're going to have to balance very carefully.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Dixon, we'll definitely be keeping track of these developments. But for this afternoon, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
All right. That is Dr. Andrew Dixon. He is the engineering executive of CBI Electric Low Voltage on why we need to support, local manufacturing sector. And really, it's great to hear that even in the midst of all these international trade wars and all that and tariffs, we can actually as consumers do something to try and save our local sectors. Absolutely great. And I think we're going to be just carrying on that similar vein. We've all